Symbolism, symbolism, symbolism. The president speaks to the Muslim world today from the fortress of the U.S. State Department. He won't be in Cairo. And in fact, last time he spoke to the Muslim world in a speech like this, the Cairo was run by a guy named Hosni Mubarak, as
Who
I recall,
that
2009. Yeah,
that.
He's out. The landscape that the president viewed when he gave a speech on June 4th, 2009, barely exists in the Arab world. And we got a concrete sort of preview of what people in that world are expecting from the president today. Yesterday, we talked with two women expatriates, one from Tunisia, one from Egypt, both who said the president needs to be very concrete about investment and about acknowledging that alliances that in the past were traditional in the U.S. policy maybe aren't so traditional today. And that's exactly what the previews of the speech and Jay Carney over at the White House was saying. Listen, first of all, to what the president said, the kind of rhetoric that he used in that very symbolic speech to the young people of Egypt and the, broadly the people of the Muslim world from Cairo University, June 4th, 2009.
Governments that protect these rights are ultimately more stable, successful, and secure. Suppressing ideas never succeeds in making them go away. America respects the right of all peaceful and law-abiding voices to be heard around the world, even if we disagree with them. And we will welcome all elected peaceful governments, provided they govern with respect for all their people.
Well, what the president says today from the State Department itself being a symbolic setting because it emphasizes that diplomacy is the way forward, not the military, even though since the 2009 speech, we're involved in a third military conflict.
Libya.
In the Middle East, right, the air attacks over over Libya. Zachary Lachman joins us now, professor of Middle Eastern and Islamic Studies and History at New York University. This is quite a moment, wouldn't you say, Professor Lachman?
Absolutely. As you said, the landscape in the Middle East has changed very dramatically since President Obama's speech in Cairo, since last December when the protests began. And I imagine this speech is an attempt to make sense of it and address it.
Well, does he have to take sides? Does he have to say, we're with you on the streets of, Daraa in Syria, for instance, or Benghazi in Libya? Or does he have to explicitly say, you know, our previous relationship with the Saudis, maybe we need to take a new look at that? Our focus on Israel, maybe we need to take a new look on that? Or is this going to be more rhetoric and symbolic talk along the lines of 2009?
Well, I suspect it'll be fairly general, but I think that to really rise to the occasion, the president needs to be a lot more specific than he was in Cairo and really lay out the principles and also lay out how the United States plans to follow up on implementing those principles. The big talk is fine, but people in the Middle East, people in the Arab world and the Muslim world have learned to watch what the United States does rather than what the United States says.
You know, Zachary Lachman, the speech in Cairo didn't seem to have accomplished what it meant to do. I mean, we have this recent poll from the Pew Research Center that shows that the favorability rating in most countries, even in Egypt, is only about 20%. And in some countries, it's maybe 10 or 13%, like Turkey or Jordan. So although it shows that democracy is very highly approved of, the idea of a democratic government, America is not.
Well, that's right. But in part, that's because despite the nice talk in Cairo, there wasn't a lot of follow-up. Actually, not much of that speech in Cairo spoke about democracy or human rights. The president talked about it a bit. But then he followed up with not much. The good relationship with Hosni Mubarak, with Zain al-Abidin Ben Ali in Tunisia, and Ali Abdullah Saleh in Yemen remained. So that when the crunch came, when the protests began, the United States was still seen as having supported the same old bunch of aging dictators.
Indeed, those relationships worked out really well. We're talking with Zachary Lachman, professor of Middle Eastern and Islamic Studies and History at New York University. When the president went concrete in 2009, Zachary Lachman, he said this. Listen.
We are taking concrete actions to change course. I have unequivocally prohibited the use of torture by the United States. And I have ordered the prison at Guantanamo Bay closed by early next year.
That's not going to happen. And everybody in the Muslim world knows that. He's got a track record of maybe not doing what he says he's going to do.
Well, closing Guantanamo, of course, was not totally under his control as things turned out. And I'm not sure that's a big irritant for people in the Muslim world. What's a lot more significant is the failure to achieve much progress in getting Israeli-Palestinian negotiations moving forward. And that's something that President Obama devoted some time and political capital to in his first year, but then basically gave up on. And that's something which really hurts the United States in across the Muslim world.
And now Hamas and Fatah are aligned. I'm wondering if there's any way he can address that today, saying there's a path forward now with this alliance, or does he just ignore it?
Well, I think the United States is actually not happy about it because it sees Hamas as nothing but a terrorist organization, whereas for Palestinians, unity is the key to any kind of progress, to any hope of furthering the Palestinian national cause. The Palestinian leadership, and that includes Mahmoud Abbas, who has been very closely tied to the Obama administration, have basically come to the conclusion that there's no one to talk to in Israel.
Wow.
And so they're going towards unity. They're hoping to find some other way to get things moving. The United States really needs to address that very specifically if anything's to be salvaged, it seems to me.
And Jay Carney at the White House yesterday was saying this will be a policy speech with concrete references to important issues in U.S. policy. So we can only hope that there's some reference to the peace process. I would think there would have to be. But I mentioned earlier, you know, is the Ich bin ein Berliner moment for President Obama in the Muslim world, has that passed? Is it over for him?
I think it has. I mean, he wanted to push the reset button in Cairo in June 2009. He did to some extent, but a lot of time has passed since then. And from the perspective of people in the Arab world and in the Middle East, not a lot changed. The United States ended up ultimately on the right side in Egypt, for example, but it took a lot of dithering and a lot else went on. And in other places in the region, the United States has been quite equivocal. In Bahrain, for example, where the United States has been largely silent when a U.S.-backed monarchy has done horrific things to its own people who are demanding democracy.
I hear the takeaway, Zachary Lachman, and it's a kind of a downer, as stay the course in this speech.
I think so. I suspect President Obama sees he has other fish to fry, other issues that are more important, and he wants to say something on the one hand, but I would suspect there's not going to be a lot of active follow-through or any significant change in course.
We shall see. Yeah. Zachary Lachman, Professor of Middle Eastern and Islamic Studies and History at New York University. Thanks so much, sir.
My pleasure.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.